The portion of God's Word to which we draw our attention today is taken from the Revelation to St. John, the 22nd chapter, beginning with verse 20. And I'll be reading from a slightly different translation from what's in the bulletin. "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are the words. Make us holy through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. A while back I saw a cartoon in the paper, and it featured a stereotypically scraggly man standing on a street corner with a sign in his hand that said, "The end is near." And a well-dressed businessman was coming past, and he chided this prophet of doom, saying, "Hey, pal, this is no time for irrational optimism. We've got real problems." Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the end of the world? I suppose that we could be a little of both. We might be slightly pessimistic simply because we don't know exactly what's going to happen, fear of the unknown. Maybe we're even a little pessimistic because we're not absolutely sure of our eternal destiny. But maybe we're more optimistic about the end because we know that when Jesus comes back, that will be a good thing, to say the least, for us as Christians. So whether we're optimistic or pessimistic, or both, these words from the very end of Scripture present to us a very clear message. The end is near. How do we know for sure that the end is near? Well, I could stand here and try and convince you based on my superior intellect. I could quote from Bible scholars who are much smarter than I, who agree that the end is near. We could point to signs all around us of the impending end. Now, some of these might be a little more convincing than others, but there are a few words in the text that do an infinitely better job of convincing us of the truth of this message. He who testifies to these things. That is, we have the words of Jesus himself telling us that the end is near. Why should we care about that? Well, okay, maybe that's a silly question for us as Christians. Or is it? How well do we listen to Jesus? Yes, we're sitting here in chapel this morning listening to God's word. You're glad to hear the voice of your Savior. You students have religious studies classes in which you soak up as much of God's word as you can. And I'm willing to say that most of us here probably go to a regular church service every week. We hear God's word. But how good are we at compartmentalizing God's word? Of arranging it by topics into imaginary files that we put into our heads, which then hopefully we'll retrieve when we think it's necessary. For example, we'll file away Ephesians 5:18, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to wild living." And then we'll forget to pull that out when we're at the Tav or B-dubs, unless we're going to use it against someone else. We'll stick Matthew 22:37 in its proper slot. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." And then fail to find that file when we're busy making sure that our own needs are met above everything else. Maybe even we'll locate Matthew 6:34 once in a while. "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." And then we'll go right back to freaking out about that big test tomorrow. Yes, there are many times when we fail to listen well to Jesus. But when it comes to Jesus testifying to the fact that the end is near, we need to open our ears. It's important to note that in this last chapter of Revelation, Jesus repeats something that he said in the first chapter of Revelation. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus is the creator and sustainer of the universe. He is the all-powerful God. If his testimony is not something that couldn't be the best proof imaginable, what else could be? He who promised to come and save this world which he created, he who fulfilled that promise by coming and serving as our Savior, he who forgives all of our sins, even our sins of not listening to him, he who testifies that the end is near can be trusted. So you don't have to trust me when I say the end is near. Believe it because Jesus himself says it. Another question that may come into our minds is this: just how near is near? Listen again to Jesus. "Surely I am coming soon." Did you catch it? Jesus tells us exactly when he's coming back. Soon. So just how soon is soon? Considering that Jesus spoke these words almost 2,000 years ago and he hasn't come back yet, does that mean we have another 2,000 years to wait? Why did Jesus say he was coming back soon if it really wasn't going to be all that soon? Obviously, our definition of soon differs radically from what Jesus would say is soon. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day, Peter writes in his second letter. Yet, we're more than ready to impose our timetables on God in terms of when he should do things. I mean, for example, how long does it take God to answer a prayer? Come on, he's God. Why can't he answer it right away? Why can't he do it as fast as I can Google something? Why does he make me wait? I can't stand waiting. Why can't Jesus come back when I say he should come back? Such are not silly sins. When we question Jesus' definition of soon, when we think that we could come up with better timing than God in terms of when things should happen, even for seemingly petty things, what have we done? We've taken ourselves and put ourselves in God's place. We've made an idol, a God, out of ourselves. And that's only going to bring us God's eternal wrath. But Jesus didn't tell us, "Surely I am coming soon," to scare us. Yes, Jesus wants us to live every day as his forgiven children, as people who have been washed clean of our sins by the blood that he shed for us. He wants us to be joyful as we anticipate his return to this earth. He wants us to look forward to living with him in heaven. "Surely I am coming soon" makes us happy. Even so, it's hard to wait, isn't it? Now, granted, life in our country is not all that hard, physically speaking at least. Most of us here, we're not absolutely destitute. We don't, or we have clothing, we have food, we have a roof over our heads. But maybe it's what's in our heads that makes it hard for us to wait. Knowing the daily mental battles that we fight against the devil and all of his temptations, knowing the hatred and the anger that I feel toward my roommate, knowing the arrogance and the pride that I have because I think I'm better than everyone else. With all of these feelings and emotions and thoughts that just swirl in our heads, we may want to pray, "Please come soon, Lord Jesus. I don't know how much more I can take." But note how John ends his revelation. "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all." We have his grace as we wait for his return. We have his undeserved love in which he went to the cross in our place to die so that we didn't have to. We have his undeserved mercy in which every day he forgives all of our sins. We have his means of grace. We have his word through which he speaks to us. his sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, in which he builds us up in our trust in him. So yes, we can wait for Jesus to come back. The end is near. That message which we trust because it comes from Jesus himself, that message which will be fulfilled soon, that message of grace, that message brings joy to our hearts. In the prayer that John uses to our lips, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.